I've married many couples, but it always reminds me of Christ and His bride. One of the weddings that I performed here some time ago, it was quite an outstanding thing in my life. It's been several years ago when I was just a young minister. My brother was working on the PWA. I don't know where anybody ever remembers that yet or not. Anybody as old as me. And that was a project that the government had. And my brother worked up about 30 miles. They were digging out some lakes, a project for the conservation. And there was a boy who worked up there with him from Indianapolis, about 100 miles above Jeffersonville, where I live. And there was, he said to my brother one day, he said, "Doc," he said, I'm going to get married if I just had enough money to pay the preacher. He said, I got enough money to get my license, but said I haven't got enough money to pay the preacher. Doc said, "Well, my brother's a preacher, and he may marry you." He said, "He never charges people for things like that." He said, "Well, you asked him if he'll marry me." Well, that night, my brother asked me. I said, "If he's never been married before, either one of them, and everything's all right." He said, "Well, I asked him," and I said, "If it is, tell him come on down." So when Saturday come along and the boy came down, it's been a great thing for me to always look back upon this. Rainy afternoon in an old Chevrolet car with the headlights wired on with a baling wire, drove up out front just a while after I'd lost my wife, and I was batching two little rooms, and Doc was up there with me waiting for them, and a boy got out of the car, and it certainly didn't look like a groom to me or would to anybody, I guess. Yeah, I could buy a pretty good pair of shoes for $1.50, and he had on a pair that was run over, and his trousers that was real baggy, and he had on one of these old moleskin jackets. I don't guess some of you older people would remember. It looked like it run through a washing machine without being wrenched, and it was streaking, tied up like this, and a corner up, and a little lady got out on the side with a little, some little checkered-looked dress. I don't know. I made a mistake on calling that kind of goods one time. Gingham, I believe it's called. And it was, I said it wrong again. I said she got out of the car, and they come up the steps, and when they walked in, the poor little thing, she just about all she had on was a skirt, and she didn't have no shoes hardly on. She'd hitchhiked from Indianapolis down, had a little hair hanging down back and along, kind of a plait down her back, looked very young. And I said to her, "Are you old enough to get married?" She said, "Yes, sir." And she said, "I have my written permission from my father and mother." She said, "I had to show it to the court here to get my license." I said, "All right." I said, "I'd like to talk to you a little bit before we perform this wedding." They sat down. The boy kept looking around the room. "We need the haircut real bad." He kept looking around the room. He wasn't listening to me. I said, "Son, I want you to listen to what I'm saying." He said, "Yes, sir." And I said, "You love this girl?" He said, "Yes, sir, I do." I said, "You love him?" "Yes, sir, I do." I said, "Now, have you got a place to take her after you marry?" He said, "Yes, sir." And I said, "All right." Now, I said, "I want to ask you something. I understand you're working up here on this PWA." And he said, "Yes, sir. That's about $12 a week." And I said, "You think you can make a living for her?" He said, "I'll do all I can do." And I said, "Well, that's all right." And I said, "Now, what if he gets out of it? What if he loses this job, sister? What are you going to do? Go to run back up home to Mama and Papa?" She said, "No, sir. I'm going to stay with him." And I said, "What, sir, if you have 3 or 4 children, nothing to feed them, you haven't got any work, what are you going to do, send her away?" He said, "No, sir. I'll struggle right on. We'll make it some way." I felt a little. And I seen that he really loved her, and they loved one another. I married him, and then I wondered where he'd taken her. A few days I asked my brother Doc where it is. Said, go down to New Albany, a little city below us, and down on the river where I had some tin laying up where I went every day when I was a lineman. So when the rest of the fellows, they all sat around, told jokes and things, I'd get in the truck and run down on the river and pray during that minute, and read my Bible under a big piece of tin where an old ironworks used to be. There's a bunch of old boxcars sitting down there, and this fellow had went down there and got one of them boxcars and sawed him a door in it, and had taken a newspaper and tacky buttons. How many knows what a tacky button is? There's no Kentuckians here. It's take a piece of cardboard, put a thumbtack in it, a little sprig, and then push it in the, that's a tacky button. So they had put it all over, and he went up there to the ironworks and got him some stuff and made a step to come up and got some old boxes and had him a table. And I thought one day I'll go down and see how they're getting along. About 6 months before that, I married E.V. Knight's daughter, to E.T. Slider's son. E.V. Knight, one of the richest men there is on the Ohio River. And he runs the great factories through there, making these prefab houses and so forth. And Slider, E.T. Slider, is the sand and gravel company, millionaire's children. And I had married him, and I went back in a place to practice it for about 2 weeks, and going back in a booth and kneeling on a pillow and all the pomp and everything I ever went through, nearly had to go through to marry that couple. And when they come out, while they were, this other little couple just stood there in a little old room where we had a little couch and a folded bed, but they both was married by the same ceremony. And then one day I thought I'd go down and visit this rich couple. They didn't have to work. Their fathers were millionaires. They built them a nice home. Frankly, this E.V. Knight up on the hill, his doorknobs are 14 carat on his big palace. So you can imagine what kind of home they live in. They didn't have to work. They had a nice Cadillac give to them every year, and just only children, and they had just everything they wanted. When I walked up one day, now how I got acquainted with them, one of their friends was a good friend of mine. We all kind of chummed together. And that's how I got acquainted, when they wanted me to marry him. So I went up to visit him. And I got outside an old Ford outside, walked up the steps, and I got up a little bit too close, and I heard them. And they were really fussing. They were jealous of one another. They'd been to a dance. She was a very pretty girl. And she was kind of one of these beauty queens. She took many prizes around there and won some cars and things for being beauty queen. And I looked at him, and one was sitting in one corner and one the other, fussing about some boy she had danced with or some girl or something. When I come up, they jumped up real quick and grabbed one another across the floor and their hands across the floor, come walk over towards the door. Said, "Why, hello there, Brother Branham. How are you getting along?" I said, "All right. How are you all getting along?" And, he said, "We're very happy. Aren't we, honey?" And she said, "Yes, dear." See? Now, see, you're putting on something that isn't real. Now, you can't get warm by a painted vibe. Like some of these churches trying to paint Pentecost of something that happened 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago. You can't get warm by a painted fire. A Pentecost is just as real today as it was then. See? The fire's still falling. It ain't a painted fire, it's a real fire. Amen. So, they've just, there they were. See, I wouldn't want to live like that. Well, I thought, you know, just down over the cliff there and over on the river, and that's where this other couple wound up. I thought one Saturday afternoon I'd slip down there and see how they was getting along. So I'm dirty on the face and dirty overalls on, my tools on. I thought I'd slip up on them. And I slipped along like I was watching for insulators being cracked by the lightning or something. As I walked along the side of the telephone wire, the electric cables along the river, and the old Chevrolet was standing out front. It was about a year later after I'd married them, and there was the door was open, and I could hear them talking. So this sounds like a hypocrite, but I walked up close enough that I could listen, see what they're saying. They're there, and I just want to know for myself. I like to find out, be sure I know what I'm talking about. That's what I do about God's Word. Is it the truth or isn't it the truth? Will He keep His Word or doesn't He keep His Word? If He doesn't keep His Word, then He's not God. See? If He does keep His Word, He's God. See? And so I wanted to see how they was getting along, and I slipped along the side real easy. I heard Him say, "Well, honey, I wanted to get that for you so bad." She said, "Now look, sweetheart." She said, "This dress is all right." She said, "Well, this is just fine." I said, "I appreciate that, but you see, I slipped around so I could look through the crack where the door had been shoved open there in the boxcar, and there he was sitting in there, and her on his lap, and his arm around her, and her arm around him, and he had one of these old slouch hats, and had put a little hole, mashed it down the top, and poured out his paycheck, and that he was laying it out on the table, said so much for groceries, and so much for insurance, and so much on the car, and they couldn't make their ends meet. Come to find out, he'd seen a little dress up there in the window. He'd been looking at it for a couple of weeks. That cost a dollar or something. He wanted to get it. He said, "Well, honey, it looks so pretty in it." And she said, "But honey, I got a dress. I don't really need it." See? And that little queen. And I backed off and looked back. I could see the steeple on top of the other house. And I stood there and looked a few minutes. I thought, who is the rich man? I thought, if Bill Branham, if you want to take which place, where would you go? For me, I'd take not that pretty thing up on top of the hill, but I'd take this character down here as a real homemaker. Somebody that loved me and stayed with me. Somebody tried to make a home and not bleeding for everything for fine reasons. Somebody that was with you, part of you. That's always stuck with me of how that was. One chose a beautiful girl, the other chose character. Now that's the only way you can choose. First, look for character. And then, if you love her, fine.